Good morning. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. It's coming up on 10 minutes past 8 o'clock on this Wednesday morning, February the 6th, the morning after Super Tuesday. We'll continue talking about the results of Super Tuesday with our guest analyst, and we will welcome your thoughts and questions and reactions to what voters in 24 states told us and told the campaigns yesterday. 1-800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. Let's run down the headlines here anyway. John McCain seized command of the race for the Republican presidential nomination, winning delegate-rich primaries from the East Coast to California.
Tonight, my friends, we've won a number of important victories and the closest thing we've ever had to a national primary. We've won some of the biggest states in the country. We've won primaries in the West, the South, the Midwest, and the Northeast. And although I've never minded the role of the underdog, and have relished as much as anyone come from behind wins. Tonight, I think we must get used to the idea that we are the Republican Party front runner for the nomination of the President of the United States.
And that he is. He emerged, John McCain, as the clear front runner in terms of delegates. But Mitt Romney and Mike Huckabee vow to stay in the race. Here's Mike Huckabee talking to his supporters in Arkansas.
You know, over the past few days, a lot of people have been trying to say that this is a two-man race. Well, you know what? It is, and we're in it.
And Mitt Romney, despite losses, says he's in it too.
You know, Ann came to me and she said, you know, the one thing that's clear tonight is that nothing's clear. But I think she's wrong. One thing that's clear is this campaign's going on.
Yeah! And going on it is, though the Romney campaign says it will be having some frank discussions today on the future of the campaign. On the Democratic side, Hillary Rodham Clinton grabbed a win in California with a big boost from Hispanic voters, but neither she nor Barack Obama is proclaiming an overall victory from Super Tuesday. Obama won 12 states and Clinton 8. Clinton leads in the early count of the delegates. Barack Obama spoke to his supporters in Chicago before the California results came in.
There is one thing on this February night that we do not need the final results to know. Our time has come. Time has come. Our movement is real. And change is coming to America.
And Hillary Clinton said that she's ready to provide that change when she spoke to supporters in New York.
Now, for 7 years, we have seen President Bush's answer. They don't know what's at stake in this election, but we do. We know what we need is someone ready on day one to solve our problems and seize those opportunities. Because when the bright lights are off and the cameras are gone, who can you count on to listen to you, to stand up for you, to deliver solutions for you?
So as the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel says in its headline today, the sprint is now a marathon. 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890, talking about the results of Super Tuesday. The candidates are now eyeing contests ahead, including Wisconsin, on February the 19th. Our guest this hour is Elaine Kmark. She's a lecturer in public policy at the Kennedy School of Government at Harvard University. She is author of The End of Government as We Know It. She was one of the founders of the New Democrat Movement that helped elect Bill Clinton president. She served in the White House from 1993 to 1997, where she created and managed the Clinton administration's National Performance Review, also known as Reinventing Government. And we are very happy to have her with us this morning after spending a very long night providing commentary on a Boston television station. Good morning.
Good morning.
So did you get any sleep last night?
not much. We stayed on the air until California came in and was called by the network. So it was a pretty late night out here in Boston.
Yeah, that's and let's put it on the table because we do this with our guests. You are a supporter of Hillary Clinton.
Yes, I am.
Yeah. Well, what do you make of what happened, especially on the Democratic side last night during the Super Tuesday stuff?
Well, I think that there are so many ways to measure and think about a night like last night. And one of the things I told my students yesterday was in looking at the results, you can almost pick your poison, right? Mm-hmm. You can look at how many states were won, but some states are obviously more important than other states. Some states are big and populous, and some states are small. So that's one measure. The other measure is you can look at the delegate count, and everyone knew going into last night that it was likely that neither Hillary Clinton nor Barack Obama would open a wide lead in the delegate count just because of the way the Democrats award their delegates, which is a little arcane.
Mm-hmm.
And the other way you could look at it is just in terms of sort of total votes and the demographics of who won in what kinds of contests. So it looks like this morning that basically what everybody thought was going to be the case on the Democratic side is the case, that this contest will go on. It will go on to other states, including Wisconsin.
Mm-hmm.
But it also, I think there was a lot of last-minute momentum for Barack Obama. Certainly here in Massachusetts, there was a lot of excitement over the fact that our two senators, Senator Kerry and Senator Kennedy, had endorsed Obama. There was a lot of movement. And then when Massachusetts came in for Hillary Clinton,
mm-hmm.
A lot of us who had watched the primaries in New Hampshire said, oh, same thing's happening, which is basically baby boomer and older women came out in extremely large numbers, and that pattern was repeated right across the country. So they have kept her in the race and more than competitive with Barack Obama, who most Democrats, myself included, think is a really exciting and fascinating candidate.
What do you attribute the Massachusetts win for Hillary Clinton to?
Well, it was baby boomer women.
Mm-hmm.
That's what it was. It was really fascinating that here in Massachusetts, where we had the two senators and the governor, by the way, Deval Patrick, behind Barack Obama, Hillary Clinton had a quite substantial win. So towards the end of the night, before I was getting too exhausted, I had one of the students I brought with me to the studio last night just give me a little chart of all the states where Hillary and Barack were winning and what the exit polls were telling us. And sure enough, in those states where Hillary was winning, she was winning because of a very large turnout of women, sometimes as much as 60% of the electorate was women, and she was winning those women by wide margins. So that was, by the way, exactly the story in New Hampshire.
Mm-hmm. What about how big of a win was Hillary Clinton's win of California?
Well, you know, it's a good question because I'm not sure we know all the numbers yet. Let me just look on my computer and I'll tell you in a minute.
she did take the state. How important is that she
state? I thought you were asking me for the actual numbers.
Mm-hmm.
It's incredibly important because, you know, among the ways of looking at the race last night, one way was just looking at California. Who is going to take the biggest state in the union, the most diverse state in the union, both racially, ethnically, and economically? And that, I think, was a big victory for Hillary Clinton. And on the Republican side, it was definitely a big victory for John McCain. There was a lot of feeling towards the last weekend that Romney was gaining on McCain in California. That turned out not to be the case.
Mm-hmm. What about Missouri, though, where a bellwether state that mm-hmm. Obama took?
Now I've got my chart up here. He took it by 1 point. Okay, so it wasn't that big of a win. Hillary took California by 10 points.
Mm-hmm.
So, listen, I think that shows great strength on Obama's part and great appeal. I mean, one of the things that he set out to do last night was prove that he could win in some red states. And he did an awful good job of that. I mean, he won in Alabama. He won in Alaska, you know, a very Republican state. He won in Colorado, a swing state. Georgia, a red state. Idaho, he had a big win in, and that's definitely another Republican state. So he did a pretty good job. But Missouri, out of all those states last night, was clearly the most important general election state because it is so critical and it is such a swing, and I think that shows some strength for him there too.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's a very mixed picture on the Democratic side, even though in contrast to the Republican side, where I think last night provided a fair amount of clarity.
We're examining the Super Tuesday election results, and we welcome your thoughts and questions for our guest, 1-800-642-1234, in Madison, 263-1890, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. We're focusing a little bit more on the Democratic side of the ticket during this hour, but not exclusively, so we wonder if anything surprised you. We wonder how your candidate did. And we welcome your questions and reactions. Our guest is Elaine Kmark. She is a lecturer in public policy at the Kennedy School of Government at Harvard University, author of The End of Government as We Know It. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine, hoping you'll stay tuned. More Super Tuesday analysis coming up during a National Public Radio news special between 1 and 3 this afternoon. Ben Marins, At Issue with Ben Marins after 4 o'clock. Ben and his guest will also look at what the Super Tuesday results mean for the presidential race. And that's what we are doing this hour as well and have been doing all morning long. Our guest this hour is Elaine Kmark, who is with the Kennedy School of Government at Harvard University. She was also served in the White House from 1993 to 1997, where she created and managed the Clinton administration's National Performance Review, also known as Reinventing Government. Elaine, I'm looking at a news story that was just posted on Politico.com that says that the Obama campaign is claiming it has a lead in the delegates now, that Senator Barack Obama says he has passed Senator Hillary Rodham Clinton in the number of delegates that the candidates racked up last night. What can you tell us about the delegate count and where it stands right now?
Now that's very interesting. That's certainly not my understanding
from
the newspapers this morning. And in fact, she had about 100 delegate advantage over him. So I'm not quite sure where that's coming from. Actually,
yeah, we'll see if producer Sarah Carroll can find anything to confirm this. This is just
You know, now it's her delegate count has been buttressed all along by the presence of superdelegates in the count. Okay, so but still, that just doesn't quite seem right.
All right. So, yeah, Clinton was portrayed in many news accounts as the night's big winner, but Obama's campaign says he wound up with a higher total where it really counts, the delegates who will choose the party's nominee at this summer's Democratic convention.
Well, we'll see.
Yeah.
This. I mean, let me just say that one of the things that is so hard to understand about this is that the Democratic Party awards delegates proportionally by congressional district, but we don't have fractional votes. So what that means is that suppose you have a six-delegate district. Even if one candidate beats another candidate by a sizable amount, say by 10 percentage points, what happens in that six-delegate district is that the delegates split 3-3. So it is possible to actually, you know, it is a very weird thing. It is possible for one candidate to win a state, but another candidate to win the most delegates. And so things like that have happened before. Hillary Clinton won in Nevada, but Obama won one more delegate than she did. So, you know, that does happen.
Yeah, no confirmation on this particular twist. CNN's website is reporting that their count shows Clinton leading at this point in delegates with 823 to Obama's 731.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, that's what I saw this morning on the Washington Post. I mean that sort of makes sense. Now, one thing for our listeners on the Republican side, they award delegates either winner-take-all by state or winner-take-all by congressional district. So that means that you'll see a much healthier... John McCain's wins last night will give him a lot more delegates than Hillary Clinton's wins.
Yeah. But what it comes down to, though, is that Barack Obama has indeed made this a very... has narrowed the gap between himself and Hillary Clinton, and this is a very close race, isn't it?
This is a very close race. You know, the thing that is really different about this race, and people keep saying, well, how come this is different, is that first of all, the candidates got out of this public funding system, and because they understood they could raise small donations on the Internet, and they didn't have to be limited in their raising or their spending. And Barack Obama has just shown an incredible ability to raise money on the Internet. He raised $32 million in January, which was the most money I think anybody's ever raised in a race in a month, who wasn't an incumbent sitting popular president. And so the ability to have a substantial war chest has really made these two candidates very, very closely tied. And I think that they will continue to run this race, maybe all the way to the convention.
We are talking about the Super Tuesday results with Elaine K. Mark. She is a lecturer in public policy at the Kennedy School of Government at Harvard University. 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890. Linda in Monroe is with us first. Hello, you're on the air.
Good morning, Joy. It's a good program. Good morning, Ms. K. Mark.
Good morning.
I feel that the number one problem in this country and in the world is the economy, and I feel that the person best qualified to solve this problem is Senator Hillary Clinton. It's just like she said on the David Letterman show the other night, that her husband cleaned up after the first Bush administration. She's going to have to come in and clean up after the second one. Now, after reading an article by Mike Ivey in last night's Capital Times, I can understand why the FBI is investigating 14 banks here in the U.S.
Yeah. Linda, I'm not going to get you to talk about... Linda wants to talk about hedge fund dealers and that sort of thing, but comment on someone like Linda who really wants Hillary Clinton to win because the economy is such a sore spot right now.
Well, the to the extent that the economy continues to go down, and to the extent that we uncover, I mean, I think that Linda's comments going, if she was going in the direction of the hedge funds and stuff, are mm-hmm. quite on point. To the extent that we're going to discover that under the sort of lax regulatory policies of the Bush administration, there's been a lot of financial shenanigans that have gotten the economy in worse shape than it needed to be, that bodes extremely well for the Democratic Party as a whole, since the Democrats always do better when people are worried about their pocketbooks. They turn to the Democrats for management of the economy and to get them out of recessions that Republicans have caused. And I think that what we saw last night is that the economic worries provided a little bit of an edge to Hillary Clinton because of the experience factor and this people's sense that, oh boy, they really need somebody who can start cleaning up this stuff as soon as she gets there. And so I think there's a little bit of an edge last night because of the economy, but again, there's more contest to go on the Democratic side. On the it's interesting to see what happened on the Republican side, though, that McCain, who was not the candidate of the economy, really handily beat Mitt Romney, who had tried to say that because the economy was going south, people should elect him because he'd been a business leader, etc. That argument did not work in Republican audiences, and maybe people just see him as another rich guy like these hedge fund guys who's part of the problem, not the solution. I don't know, but it was interesting that the economy didn't seem to have that impact on the Republican Party.
George in Milwaukee, hi, you're on the air.
Yeah, hi. I wonder if your guest could comment on, I'm an Obama supporter, and I do think that and the major reason why I'm supporting him is because I think he has a better chance to win than Hillary. If Hillary gets the nomination, I'll work for her. But I think that it's been shown now in a lot of these primaries that Obama has much more of an ability to appeal to independents and even some Republicans. And I think that really gives him the edge overall when you look ahead towards November. There does seem to be, Hillary seems to have so many, such a strong amount of negative, it's like 1-to-1 people who like her, people who don't like her. Obama's is like 2-to-1 in terms of liking him opposed to disliking him. I think it's going to be a real struggle for Hillary to win. I think she could possibly win, but I think Obama is more of a sure thing to win because of his appeal to the independents.
Yeah, what's your take on that?
I certainly agree with the caller, and I think a lot the advantage the Democrats have this year is that all of us can support either of these candidates wholeheartedly. And so I could easily support Obama in November, just as I think the caller could easily support Hillary. And that's, by the way, not the case on the Republican side, where the conservatives are, waging war against mm-hmm. John McCain. So, but the electability question is a tough one. I mean, Hillary Clinton has had these very high negatives all through the campaign. And the question is, is that something that will inevitably happen to Obama as well, as he is better known and as the Republicans turn on him? There's two ways to look at the electability argument. One is that Hillary Clinton has these terrible high negatives, and it's hard for her to attract independents and Republicans. The other way to look at it is that Hillary Clinton has already had everything, including the kitchen sink, thrown at her by the Republicans, and therefore it's a pretty stable picture. We don't know what happens to Barack Obama when the Republican attack machine, which, as we know from history, is extremely vicious and personal, that hasn't been turned on him yet. So he still has pretty good numbers. Democrats have been pretty loath to attack him, and I think the big strategic mistake that the Hillary campaign made was when they tried to attack him. It just backfired on them in South Carolina, so I don't think we're going to see much more of that. So you're right for this point in time that Barack Obama looks a little bit more electable, but we don't know if that's the case, because he hasn't been through the fire of the Republican attack machine yet.
Along those lines, Jane in Appleton, in an email, who I believe it's fair to say she's a conservative voter. I think she might be a John McCain supporter, just so you know where this question is coming from, was wondering when the media will finally actually challenge Barack Obama rather than fawning all over him like a starstruck groupie. This guy can deliver a good speech, but no substance. You can't lead on hope and change, and you don't give details about what that change is. Change is not always for the better. It's unfortunate the press does not do its job, and goes on to say that Senator Barack Obama's getting a free ride. What do you think?
Well, I think that he's been so attractive and so charismatic that I do think he has enchanted some of the press. I thought last night that he, in his acceptance speech, he put out a lot more specifics than I had seen in other speeches. Mm-hmm. And some of us who were watching it thought he was he knew he had that problem of, you know, he has to get beyond the wonderful stump speech and the soaring rhetoric. And particularly, and this is where I think our earlier discussion about the economy comes in, as the economy gets worse, people are going to be less patient with hope and want to see, what are you going to do for me? How are you going to fix this? Who are you going to go after? How are you going to correct the imbalances in this economy? And I think that he's going to have to put some more on the table and get a little bit more specific. And what the press doesn't do, believe me, the Republicans will.
Yeah. She says, Obama keeps saying that John McCain wants to keep us in a 100-year war with Iraq. That's not what he said. McCain said we may be in Iraq 100 years from now, just as we are in Korea, Europe, Bosnia, etc.
Right.
Scott in Green Bay. Hello, you're on the air.
Good morning. Yeah, I just had two quick comments. I guess the way I look at it is I think it was a huge win for Barack Obama yesterday. And the reason I think that is because the way the primaries were front-loaded, the way the Democrats had changed the system, is yesterday was supposed to be, and if you go back 6 months, it was supposed to be Hillary Clinton's coronation. This was supposed to be done. Nobody was supposed to be challenging her. And for Barack to be this close and to actually win more states than she did, I think this is a huge, huge win for him. And if you look at primaries on Saturday and Tuesday coming up, I believe that's when they are. There's probably five or six of them. These are ones that he is going to do much better than she is going to do. So come next Tuesday, chances are, and it's a pretty good chance, that he's going to have far more delegates than she's going to have. And I think that's a story that people just kind of gloss over, that this is a huge victory for Barack Obama, because this was supposed to, you got to admit, if you look at the press and you look at the way things were going up to this, this was supposed to be done yesterday.
Yeah. Elaine Kamer?
Well, I mean, you're absolutely right. I mean, but I guess that I would say that Iowa was a huge victory for Barack Obama, that in other words, he put a pin in the balloon of the Hillary Clinton inevitability much earlier than yesterday. He did it in Iowa, and he did it again in South Carolina. So I guess it sort of just depends on your time frame. Certainly, if we were last fall or last summer, this would have been a huge victory for him. But we've gotten used to the fact that it was a two-way race. It was a two-way race really in beginning this year, and through these early contests, there really wasn't anybody else who managed to break through, which is why John Edwards is no longer in the race. So absolutely, if you're going back last year, it was a great big win. If you're going back to Iowa, it's still a very tough race. and the caller is absolutely right. Nobody, the Hillary campaign, I think, thought last summer that they would put this to bed today and or last night, and they didn't.
You know, that reminds me, we had a caller in our last hour who was really scratching his head over why the demographics of the voting show that it's the poor or lower income voters, uneducated or less educated voters, who are going for Clinton, while the affluent and more educated voters are going for Obama. Any thoughts on that?
That's been the case right from the beginning in every poll we've seen and in every contest we've seen. The best explanation, I think there's two explanations for that. One is the economy, that people with a little bit less education are more economically vulnerable, and they really do look for a president who can make sure that there's a pretty hearty social safety net there. And Hillary's specifics on all of these questions, I think, give those voters some reassurance. And secondly, I think that what you see is the women's vote. Women, as we know, make less money than men do, and women have been coming out for Hillary in enormous numbers. They tend to make less money and therefore are a little bit more economically vulnerable, particularly, for instance, single mothers and people like that. And they want a candidate who's going to get in there and right from the beginning start fixing things.
Yeah. And I'm sorry, we didn't really talk a lot about what the primary contests to come. Our caller was right that Barack Obama probably does have an advantage with there's some caucuses coming up, too.
Yes, Barack Obama has been doing very, very well in caucuses.
Mm-hmm.
There's no doubt about it. And part of it is that he has as a challenger, he's managed to raise the money to really put terrific organizations on the ground in all these caucus states, many of which are Republican states. If I was a Republican, I would watch this with great fear, because what is happening is that formerly solid Republican states like Kansas are having a real infusion of talent and energy into the Democratic Party because of this race, and I think that's going to bode well for the Democrats in the fall.
Yeah. There are primaries next week in Virginia, Maryland, and Washington, D.C., and also, of course, there's Wisconsin's February 19th primary. We'll talk more about where the race for the White House is going as we continue our examination of Super Tuesday results with our guest, Elaine K. Mark, who is a lecturer in public policy at the Kennedy School of Government at Harvard University, author of The End of Government as We Know It. She was one of the founders of the New Democrat movement that helped elect Bill Clinton president, and she has told us she is a supporter of Hillary Clinton in this race for the White House. 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890. We welcome your thoughts and questions for her. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. Good to have you with us on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine, hoping you'll stay tuned. Coming up, Veronica Rickert in for Kathleen Dunn, talking with her guest after 9 o'clock about what some are calling party training. You'll have to find out what that's about coming up after 9 o'clock. We're talking about how the Democratic Party and the Republican Party candidates did in Super Tuesday voting yesterday with our guest this hour. Governor Jim Doyle in the news today plans to campaign in Wisconsin on behalf of Barack Obama this week after canceling a trip to Chicago last night to watch results from the Super Tuesday primary votes. The snowstorm changed Governor Doyle's plans last night, but campaign officials say Doyle will appear at organizing events today in Green Bay and Oshkosh and on Thursday in Eau Claire and La Crosse. He spent the other day campaigning for Obama in Kansas. He had planned to be with Obama at his campaign headquarters in Chicago last night, but he canceled due to the snowstorm. Meanwhile, Isaac Baker of the Hillary Clinton campaign says the New York senator has volunteers organizing in all 72 Wisconsin counties and paid staff members working in the state in her battle with Obama for the Democratic presidential nomination. He says he's not sure yet when Clinton might be coming to Wisconsin in advance of the February 19th primary. And Elaine Kmark, this will still be going hot and heavy February 19th when Wisconsin holds its primary.
Yes, it will. Yes, it will. Mm-hmm. And by the way, back to the earlier notice you got, is I'm now seeing another email from someone at MSNBC saying that Obama may have won the last night's delegate hunt, picking up 840 to 829 for Clinton. So that may be right. There's going to be there's going to be all sorts of delegate numbers around, mm-hmm. depending on whether you're looking just at the pledge delegates, in other words, the delegates who are elected as the result of last night's primaries and caucuses, or whether you're looking at the pledge delegates and the superdelegates. And since Hillary has an advantage among the superdelegates, her total number is probably going to look about 100 bigger than Obama's number, but it is entirely possible that they split last night almost right down the middle.
Well, there we go.
Yep.
Next we go to Donna in Green Bay. Hello, you're on the air.
Hello, thanks for taking my call. I was wondering, I know in Wisconsin, in our primaries, we can cross over party.
Mm-hmm.
We have to vote straight party once we choose. But for how many states is this possible, and does anyone have any idea if some of these states that Obama is winning are Republicans voting for him in hope to get Clinton out of the race?
Well, it's about, the last time I looked at this was years ago, but it's about 30 states out of in our country where you can go and vote in either primary, okay? There's a variety of different ways of doing it, but there's a fair number of states that you can do that in. We did see last night that a lot of independents were breaking for Obama. Now, again, these are people who don't register for either party, so they're independents and they get to pick the primary they choose. We didn't see much evidence of Republicans coming over into the Democratic side for the sake of mischief, mostly because there was such an intense race on the Republican side. I think it kept a lot of Republicans in that race. You know, you had all the conservative talk radio show hosts trying to beat John McCain. I mean, it was really quite and you had Mitt Romney pouring millions of dollars of advertising in, and the evangelicals organizing for Mike Huckabee. So, you know, in the other party, that it was quite a dust-up. And I think it was probably sufficient to keep Republicans in their own party and not making mischief in the Democratic Party. What we did see last night, though, was that Obama had a lot of independents, and the question is, will those independents then stay with the Democrats come November, or will they be tempted over into the Republican Party in November? It's an interesting race this year because we have a candidate in each camp, Obama in the Democratic camp and McCain in the Republican camp, who are very strong at attracting independent voters. And, of course, the question then is, can they keep them as the campaign heats up in the fall if the two of them are the nominee?
Thanks, Donna, for the call. Anne in Stevens Point is with us now. Hi, Anne.
Hi there. I am a political junkie, and I am excited that we have two great candidates, but I'm absolutely torn which way to vote because I want both. So what's the chance, do you think, that whoever wins will put the other on the ticket?
It's a great question, and you know, you are echoing in the comments of so many Democrats that I talk to. Basically, Democrats want them both on the ticket, and I just don't know what will happen. Part of the problem in presidential elections these days is that the country is so closely divided between Democrats and Republicans that one theory of putting together the ticket is that you really have to be able to put a have somebody as your vice president who puts a state in your column. Mm-hmm. A lot of people look at the 2004 race and they say one of the biggest mistakes John Kerry made was picking Edwards over Dick Gebhardt. And the reason was that even when they chose him, they knew that Edwards was not going to be able to put North Carolina in the Democratic column. Missouri, on the other hand, was a very, very tough, closely fought state. And in retrospect, putting Dick Gebhardt on the column, on the ticket, may have been able to put Missouri in the Democratic column and may have made John Kerry president. That's just how close the Electoral College is these days. So the question that I think the two of them are going to have to, either one of them, if who wins, is going to have to decide is what do they gain by putting the other one on the ticket versus going for somebody from a swing state. Hillary Clinton, you know, bringing you don't really need Hillary on a ticket to bring New York State. New York is a Democratic state, except under the most unusual circumstances, it will probably go Democratic. And Illinois is basically a Democratic state presidentially as well. Mm-hmm. Not quite as reliable as New York, but still pretty reliable. So I think this is going to be a very, very tough calculation for either one of them if they end up on top. But I certainly understand your sentiment because I hear it all the time and I feel it myself that people would just simply like to have both of them.
Yeah, it sounds like you don't think it's too likely that one will pick the
other.
Well,
I don't think it's too likely. But mm-hmm. then again, you know, this calculation will get made in August when mm-hmm. the shape of the general election is a little bit clear.
Yeah. And will this Democratic contest be decided at the convention?
Well, it's possible. It is certainly possible the way this is going. And this is if these preliminary delegate counts are right, that it's almost exactly a 50-50 split, then the next contests become incredibly important. And where the superdelegates move becomes incredibly important, too. This could be settled in the summer leading up to the convention.
Yeah. What about the delegates for Florida and Michigan? What do you think will happen there?
Well, I'm on the Democratic National Committee, and we voted to strip those two states of their delegates because they moved early and created this avalanche of everybody going practically into Christmas. Those two states could end up in a classic old-fashioned credentials fight. You have to go back to 1976 for the Republicans, 1972 for the Democrats. Some of us can remember those conventions. My students certainly can't, which is why I'm having them read about those conventions. You have to go back to those two conventions to see what a credentials challenge looks like in the context of a very closely divided convention. And certainly Florida and Michigan could provide test votes on credentials challenges to the Democratic convention this summer.
We go now to Lori in North Prairie. Good morning.
Hi. My question / comment is, first of all, I'm a registered Democrat, have been for almost 30 years, and I will be voting for Hillary, although she wasn't my first choice. I'm not voting for her because she's a woman. I'm voting for her because of the two that are left. I don't get it. I don't get the fascination with Barack Obama. I don't get the love fest. I don't get why he gets a pass, why he never has to answer a question. To me, the best comment that Hillary Clinton made in any of the debates was when he was, again, avoiding answering a question. And she said, well, you know, Barack, it's hard to have a debate with you because you don't answer anything and you don't take responsibility for anything. Now, I don't mean to belittle anybody who loves this guy. I'm just trying to figure out why. Because every time I say to somebody, okay, this is great, you're voting for Barack Obama, tell me why. What is it? Why should I vote for him? What is it about him? Well, I don't know. I just really find him inspiring. To me, there's too much at stake for people to be voting for somebody because they give a good speech. Well, I don't have a clue what he thinks about anything or what he's going to do.
I bet you, Lori, well, anyway, she hasn't seen him in person then, I guess, Elaine Kamer, because that's what I hear, is that if you see him in person, you are, you know, you're inspired.
Well, I mean, yes and no. He clearly is very inspiring. He clearly is very charismatic. On the other hand, some of his worst moments in the debate, mm-hmm. in the debates and in the campaign, stem from exactly the phenomenon that Lori is pointing out, which is that he has not been very specific, mm-hmm. and he doesn't seem to be very comfortable with the complexities of many of the issues at hand. And I think that is his weakness, and it's the thing I think he started to try to address last night a little bit. But clearly, this is going to intensify, and if he looks like he's going to actually walk away with the nomination, then I think reporters are going to demand more access to him. They haven't had, by the way, a lot of access to him in terms of one-on-one questions. And I think that he's going to have to explain more than he's been doing. That's the challenge before him.
Yeah. But, I mean, there have been a bunch of debates, and we at least have heard that in terms of policy and stands on issues, the differences, while there are some with, you know, the mandatory insurance coverage for the health mm-hmm. insurance plans, and you know, he makes much about how he opposed the war in Iraq from the beginning, but their stands are pretty similar on most of the important issues. So it's just a matter of liking one's style over the other, isn't it?
Well, but it is more than style. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'll give mm-hmm. you an example from one of the more recent debates. When they asked a question about Pakistan, and, you know, Pakistan is likely to be a big thorn in the side of the next president, whoever he or she is, Obama's answer was, yes, we'll go in and we'll get Osama bin Laden. Mm. And all the other candidates sort of said some version of that. Well, that's very well and good. Hillary said, yes, of course we want to get Osama bin Laden, but look, there's a little problem. Pakistan has nuclear weapons. It's been at war with India for decades over Kashmir. You can't sort of go blundering in there because you could start a nuclear war totally by mistake. So what happened was that, you know, it was clear that she was showing the understanding of the sort of complexity of the issue that a president has to understand, and which, by the way, this current president never understood the complexities of, which is why we're in the shape we're in. It's very clear on issue after issue that she kind of has the depth. And if he has the depth, he's not showing it yet. And I think that is going to be his challenge in this next set of primaries.
Yeah. Mike in Madison will be our last caller. Hi, Mike.
Okay. Well, I have to make a comment on the previous caller.
We're so out of time. Okay. Make your most important point.
Okay. Well, it's that the earlier comment by the guest that the Democrats will all fall in line behind whoever the nominee is. And I'm a baby boomer. I'm kind of independent-leaning Democrat. I voted for Nader in 2000. I can't vote for Hillary. But what surprised me last week is that my parents, who were born in the 20s, they're, you know, children of the Depression, have always voted Democrat. They can't vote for Hillary either. So, you know, I think that's kind of a myth that the Democrats are all going to fall behind Hillary if she's the nominee. That's my comment, I guess.
We have 30 seconds just for a response to that.
Well, having worked for Al Gore and mm-hmm. seen what happened in 2000 and seen what happened with the consequences of Al Gore not becoming president, I do hope that mm-hmm. people will stick with the Democratic Party, particularly people on the left and whoever the nominee is, because I think we've seen what happens when they don't.
Well, this is exciting. Thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you.
Elaine Kamark is a lecturer in public policy at the Kennedy School of Government at Harvard University. We thank Karen Prager for producing The Hour and Sarah Carroll for on-air production. More talk about Super Tuesday results coming up this afternoon. We'll try to straighten out that delegate stuff then at 1 o'clock this afternoon.